Chuck has begun this sermon series, I Am Jesus, where we're going through the Gospel of John, the seven I Am statements, self-identifying statements that Jesus made about himself. And we'll test you guys. I wasn't here last week, so we'll test you. I've got to listen to the sermon online. But last week, Chuck talked about I Am the light of the world. Yeah. So he talked a little bit about darkness. Josh is the only one here. All right. He talked about darkness versus light, and so this week we're going to turn to John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, focusing mostly on verse 11 there, if I get you to go there with me, it's going to be on the screen as well. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and what does the good shepherd do according to verse 11? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is the good shepherd. God is good. The gospel actually means good news, and it's good news that Jesus, who is the good shepherd, was willing to die for us in our place. And the fact that he said, I am the good shepherd, implies to us that there must be one who is not good. And in fact, in the first verse of John chapter 10, he doesn't just imply it, he says it. He says in John chapter 10, verse 1, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a what? Thief. And a robber. Now he was talking about our spiritual enemy. Our spiritual enemy is Satan, the prince of darkness, and he hates God, and he hates everything that belongs to God. He hates the people of God, so that means he doesn't like you. And he says that his job, his mission, is to steal, kill, and destroy everything that matters to God. And if we admit to ourselves that there's a lot of things being killed, stolen, and destroyed in life. A lot of people are sick, and a lot of families having problems, a lot of marriages falling apart, a lot of kids, college kids, making bad decisions, and I believe at the root of that is the thief and the robber. And in fact, Jesus said here in John chapter 10, verse 10, the mission of our spiritual enemy is, he says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose, though, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, I'm not going to tell you this morning that that means that he wants you to have all the money in the world, that he wants you to be rich. I saw on the news or saw a headline about a pastor, Georgia or Florida or someplace, who a mega church pastor who's requesting his church pay for his $65 million jet or something like that. Or he wanted, I don't think you guys would go for that. We'll have a meeting with the elders. I'll talk to them about it. But that's not what he means by a rich and satisfying life. So let's be clear here. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So in this metaphor, Jesus is the good shepherd. What does that make us? Sheep. And that's not the most complimentary comparison that can be made for us. Because sheep are not the brightest animals in the world, are they? I don't know if I like being compared to sheep very much. He's the good shepherd, so we're the sheep. Sheep, they're just not a very smart couple. Or last week, we took Lawton and Isaiah and Gannon, we went to the circus. Now, we didn't have to go to Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey and all that stuff, because they bring a small circus over to the National Guard Armory every year. Free tickets. You see the free tickets all over around town, you know. So we took our kids, and it was a good show, and it was a lot of fun. Just, we saw all these animals that were trained to do lots of great things. We saw elephants, and we saw lions and tigers. There were no bears. But we saw lions and tigers doing all these tricks. We saw horses doing tricks. We saw dogs doing tricks. We even saw camels dancing in unison doing tricks. And I thought, that's really neat. But you know what we didn't see? We didn't see any sheep. They didn't have any sheep there. And in fact, you can't really train a sheep to do a whole lot. I've heard it said the only way to make a sheep play dead is to shoot it. And that only works one time. So you can't do a whole lot with sheep. So they're really not smart creatures. And so I just need to tell you, with the love of Jesus, you're stupid. But so am I. So am I. So don't go telling Chuck that I called you all stupid and then I'll get fired. But if we look at our outline here, the four challenges of being a sheep. What I want us to go through here this morning is the four challenges of being a sheep. The first one is this. Sheep get lost easily. And I wonder if any of us can relate to that. Some of us may think that we have great sense of direction. Some of us might get lost going to the mailbox. But sheep get lost easily. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 53 that says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own ways. We begin to think that it's more fun over here. There's more for me over here. Maybe this looks good. It's very common for sheep to walk away, to wander away from the shepherd and think, this might make me happy, or that might make me, oh, I wonder what that, you know. And so they get lost easily. And the reality of that is, that's us. That's us. We're trying to figure out life. We're trying to find ourselves and make all these decisions. And we keep making bad decisions a lot of times. And we keep going over here, and then we turn our backs and go over here, and we get lost very easily. So sheep get lost easily. Number two, sheep are defenseless. Now, I used this first service, and I was told that sheep aren't necessarily defenseless because they ram you pretty hard. But if you're smarter than them, you can get out of the way, is what I've been told. So sheep, we'll just go with that. Sheep are defenseless. A lot of animals, I'm not an animal person. You can ask Sarah. I'm not an animal person. We went to a dog park yesterday. As we pulled in, Sarah said, this must be torture for you. I'm not an animal person. We have two cats and a dog. And I learned the defense mechanism of a cat this week. As I picked the cat off the bathroom sink to put her down, our new puppy, who's 35 pounds and growing, came around the corner, and as I put her down, he was right there, and I learned the defense mechanism of a cat, right around this section right here. And she just kept clawing, digging in to not be down by the cat. There's a lot of animals that come pre-packaged with a lot of defense mechanisms. Some have fangs, some have horns to really do some damage. Some can fly to get away from the predators. Some can run very fast. Some just blend into the surroundings. And then there's sheep, which I've been told just ram you. But if you just move, I think you might be okay. So sheep are defenseless. And on our own, apart from the body of Christ, without the armor of God, and apart from our good shepherd, we're very vulnerable to the lies of our enemy, of our spiritual enemy. And we can begin believing those lies, and we can begin to live a life that is leading us to death and destruction, all because we can be very defenseless. Number three, sheep are very stubborn. So look at the person next to you and just tell them, you're very sheep-like, you're very stubborn. Some of you did it. Some of you just looked at me because you're stubborn and you're not going to do it. But we are. I was on YouTube this week, and youth ministers aren't always on YouTube, but I was on YouTube this week, and I found a video of some sheep. And I didn't bring it because it's not real exciting, but it did show a good illustration of what I mean by this. There were about 50 sheep in a barn, and there was an opening, and they were ringing the bell or whatever to get the sheep to all leave the barn. There was an opening about this wide. And yet, all of them tried to get to that at the same time. And they get stuck. And they didn't stop and back up and let each other through one at a time. They just kept going. And they kept getting more and more stuck until the pressure of the rest of the sheep finally popped a couple through. And then they'd stop again. And I read that that sheep, if they try to go between a couple of rocks, and they do, they get wedged in there if it's too tight of a passage, they won't back out. They're stubborn. They just keep going. They keep digging themselves in deeper and deeper until they're really stuck. And I wonder if anybody knows anybody like that. We can all be pretty stubborn, can't we? Like we were in this weight loss competition recently, and if I wasn't happy with the way the scales would move, and then next thing I know, I have a bag of chips in my hand. That's not smart. That's stubborn. I don't like the predicament I am in, but I'm not getting myself out of it. Or the person who says, I never have money, I'm always broke, I don't have money, and then they give you a text or a call and they say, let's go out to eat tonight. Stubborn. Keep digging ourselves into that predicament, never backing out. So they're stubborn, they act silly like that. That's what a lot of sheep are. Number four, if you're writing your notes in there, sheep are filthy. They're dirty. You may have seen white sheep on TV, but I think they were washed beforehand. They're dirty, they're filthy, they stink. They don't have the ability to clean themselves, and they don't clean themselves. And And so, very respectfully, that is, if I can say this, that is how God views us when we're on our own. A lot of people say, but he's a good person, or she's a very good person. And really, in the eyes of God, we're not good. In the eyes of a perfect God, we're filthy. We're dirty. We're full of sin. We fall way short of God's standards, because his standards are perfection. So the bottom line is this. Sheep absolutely need a shepherd, and we need a Savior. We need Jesus. And without him, we're vulnerable to the lies of our enemy. Without him, we can get lost easily. And so that's why it's really, really good news when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I'm so good that I will lay down my life for my sheep. So what I want to do with the rest of our time together this morning, if you go to that second page of the outline there, I've talked about four challenges of being a sheep, but I want to really focus on three incredible qualities of the good shepherd this morning. Three really good qualities of the good shepherd. So the first one, if you're taking notes here, if you're filling in your outline, is this. What does the good shepherd do? He guides. The good shepherd guides. Psalm chapter 23, one of the most famous psalms. When you're growing up, you learn this psalm in Sunday school. Starts off, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in verse 3, he says this. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. The Lord guides us. You ever find yourself in a situation where you have to make a big decision? You're not sure what you're supposed to do in that situation. Don't know if you should go this way or that way. You know, when I preach, whether it be downstairs or upstairs, a lot of times I preach to myself as much as I preach to you guys. And this is one of those areas, because when we are in those situations, when we seek out God, he will reveal himself to us and he will guide us. Listen to verses 3 and 4 in John chapter 10. It says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep recognize his voice, and they come to him. And he, the good shepherd, calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. And what do? They follow him, because they know his voice. He guides them. The sheep know him, and they recognize the voice of the good shepherd. Now, some of you say, I don't know the voice that I'm looking for. Are you talking like an audible voice? And while I think Scripture does show where God has spoken that way, there are so many ways that God can speak to us. But God speaks through his word. God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through people. And if you belong to God and you know his voice, you will know in those times. And some of you say, I don't know the voice that I'm listening for. I don't know his voice. And I would say there's probably two reasons for that. One of two reasons. I'll use this as an example. Let's say we take you into a room, and there's 50 women in there, and they're all talking. Hard to imagine, I know. But they're all talking. And you go into a room with 50 men, they're all watching March Madness. They're going, nobody's talking. But let's say I take you in there, my wife is in there, Sarah's in there, and I tell you, I say, can you, just by listening, can you find Sarah? Can you hear her voice? Can you pick out her voice? And if you say no, probably one of two things. Either one, you don't know her, you've never met her. By the way, she's right here if you've never met her. But you don't know her. Or two, you haven't spent enough time with her to really know her voice. Because if I walk into a room of 50 women and I am blindfolded, it would take me maybe a minute or so, but I think I could find my wife by her voice. Because I know her. Because we've been married almost 8 years, and almost every day we've talked. If I'm gone out of town or on a mission trip or something, out of contact, maybe we didn't talk that day, but almost every day for 8 years we've talked. So I think I would know her voice. It wouldn't take me very long to be able to say, there she is, right over there. But if you can't find her, you maybe not know her voice because you don't know her or you haven't spent enough time with her. If you don't recognize the voice of the good shepherd, then maybe you don't know him, or you haven't spent enough time with him. If you're one of his sheep, he calls you by name. He calls you by your name. He knows your story. And I think that's a great picture of who God is. He's a personal and a relational God. Because when someone calls you by name, it can really make a difference in your life. When I was about 20 years old, I transferred from Cincinnati Bible College to Johnson Bible College in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I did that after the first semester. And one of the first things I did on campus on my new student orientation weekend was I got to visit the White House. Not that White House. There's a house on campus. They call it the White House because that's where the president of the college lives. So I got to go to his house, and every when your freshman class comes in, everybody does that. It's just a reception where you get to meet him and talk, you know, say hi. But when you're a new freshman and there's a couple hundred people coming in, it's very impersonal. You just kind of walk through and say hi and go through the kitchen, grab a sandwich and walk out. You know, it's not very much. But when there's only 20 or 30 of you, it's a lot more intimate. And so I got to talk to Dr. Eubanks for about 5 minutes. He was the president of the college. And so I got to talk to him about 5 minutes, and I told him my story. I said, my name's Kevin. I just transferred here from Cincinnati, and I'm here doing youth ministry. And didn't talk much, just a little bit. And so that was a neat experience. But then about a week and a half later, Cincinnati Bible College, their basketball team came down to play our basketball team. And so I was in the hallway, and I was talking to some people. And obviously, he didn't recognize those people because he came up to me. He's walking through the hallway. The president of the college, who knows thousands of people, fundraises all over the country, knows all these people. And he walks up. He says, "Hi, Kevin. Did you get to meet some of your friends from Cincinnati tonight?" And I thought, wow. He knew my name, and he knew my story. And we have a God who's that personal, who's that relational, who wants to reveal himself to us and call you by name. So if you have a difficult decision that you're trying to make, should I take this job in another city? Should I stay here? Should I keep dating this person? Should I not date this person? Should I go to this college or go to that college? Should we have kids? Should we not have, you know, all those decisions. This is part where I preach to myself just as much as I preach to you. We need to tell God, "God, you said Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the guide. It's my job to follow. It's his job to lead." And we need to give that up to him. And then takes all the pressure off us, puts it all on him because he says, "I am the good shepherd and I will guide you." So say it with me. The number one, he guides. He guides. Second thing he does, if you write this down, is he provides. Our God is a good God who provides for us. In fact, Psalm 23 again, if we go to the first three verses of that, 1, 2, and 3, David says this. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul." He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And as I was doing some reading this week on sheep and all that, I found that sheep don't lie down very often unless three things are taking place in its life. Number one, it's well fed. It's got a full stomach. Number two, there's no tension. They're getting along. There's no strife. And number three, they feel safe. If all those three things are true, then a sheep will take some rest. But if that's not, then they might get a little bit restless and not lie down. But in the presence of the good shepherd who leads them to green pastures, they are full because they have been in his presence. And he breaks up those little fights among them. And I think a lot of us can take the good shepherd home with us and break up those little fights among us and heal relationships in our homes. And the good shepherd, when the good shepherd is present, they're not afraid because he protects them. He's their protector. And so they will rest and they'll actually lie down. It goes on to say, he leads me beside the quiet waters. Why the quiet waters? Because if you can imagine rushing waters, trying to take a drink out of rushing waters, a sheep might just fall in and become a giant cotton ball going down the river there. So he leads me beside quiet waters. He knows exactly what I need. And when he takes me to quiet waters, I'm able to drink. And who is the quiet waters? Scripture says that Jesus is the living water, and when we drink of him, we will never thirst again. He quenches that inward thirst so that we could be at rest. And then David says, he refreshes my soul. He's such a good provider. God is such a good provider. The good shepherd is. He doesn't just provide for us materially. He doesn't just provide for our bodies, but he provides for our souls as well. Some of you right now, you've got everything you need on the outside. You've got the perfect house. You've got the perfect car. You've got the perfect wardrobe. You've got the perfect family. You've got all these things working for you. But your soul just isn't at rest. you may be without a shepherd, because our shepherd, our good shepherd, is so loving in his provision. He refreshes our soul. So inwardly we could be at peace. And the amazing thing is when you are sheep under the care of the good shepherd, everything in life, on the other hand, could be going wrong. Things are falling apart around you. Your home life, your work life, everything is going wrong, and that you can be in a place where you have the peace that just transcends the understanding of why you have this peace in your heart when all this stuff is going wrong. That is the good shepherd refreshing your soul. So everybody say, he guides, he provides, and the third thing the good shepherd does is he protects. So write that down in your outline there. He protects. This is what David says in Psalm 23, the 4th, 5th, and 6th verses here. David said this: even though I walk through the darkest valley, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. When he is with me, I have nothing to fear. When he is with me, I know that he's working in all situations in my life, and that I have nothing to fear. He says, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, which was a weapon to scare off or harm the animals who were trying to attack the sheep, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The staff had the little hook to rescue the sheep, and it also used to kind of stroke the sheep and let them know their good shepherd was nearby. And so these would comfort me. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So what does that mean? You know, I said that sheep were kind of dirty and stinky, and flies would just be everywhere. And in the context of that scripture, it wasn't uncommon for flies to just, still isn't, to get up into the nose of a sheep, lay their eggs, and it's kind of gross to think about, but instead of the larva coming down, it might go up and just drive the sheep just kind of insane, and just, to the point where it's just beating its head against something to relieve that irritation. And he says, you anoint my head with oil. And if you look in the context of that, you do some research, a lot of times that oil was used as kind of a repellent. And so here you have the good shepherd that says, I'm going to take care of you, just the things that irritate you. That's how good I am. My cup overflows. How many of you ever had company at your house that just didn't know when to leave? Anybody? Nobody's raising their hand. They're being very nice. Maybe they still have company with you, and you just didn't want to. Maybe you try to all the tricks. You look at your watch. You say, "Oh, look what time it is! It's so late. Got to get up early tomorrow." Or maybe you go get your pajamas on and come back out. You know, just take the hint. A little trick you might do is turn the heat up to 80. They won't stick around very long. And he says, "My cup overflows." There's a tradition in Old Testament Palestinian homes, where if you were a guest in someone's home, as long as your cup was filled with the wine, you're welcome to stay at the house. As long as your cup was refilled, you're welcome to stay. Now, when the cup got empty, the pajamas were on, the heat was turned up, it's time for you to go. And he says, my cup overflows. In other words, I'm always welcome in the presence of the good shepherd. That's just how good he is, and that's just how much he loves us. Verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me. It'll overtake me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He protects us. Now that doesn't mean that you'll never fall on harm. That doesn't mean you'll never get sick. It doesn't mean that no physical harm will ever come to you. But it does mean in the spiritual terms that he has stored up for us an inheritance that is never going to perish. It's never going to fade away. And he did that because he said, I would lay down my life for the sheep. In fact, Jesus told a parable, and he said that suppose a shepherd had 100 sheep, and one of them wandered away. Wouldn't he not just leave the 99 who were safe and go after the one to bring it back? And I just want to say today that there may be someone here that you're the one. There may be 99 of us in here that are safe within the grips of the good shepherd, and there may be one that needs a shepherd. And that's what he does. He's coming for you. And so if you feel like, oh man, this message, it's like it's hitting me. It's really talking to me. It feels like it's just right towards me. It is. It is. It's right towards you. You're the one. God is speaking directly to you. He's coming for you. He knows your name. He knows your story. He's coming for you. there's a drama professor. There's a story of a drama professor who was going through the 23rd Psalm with his class just for the theatrics of it. You know, how great of a scripture that is. And he said he wanted everyone in the class to be able to recite the 23rd Psalm up in front of the class. And so he did it very beautifully, very theatrical. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he goes through the whole production for him, and he went through the whole psalm, and at the end, everybody's clapping, saying, "Wow, that was such a good presentation of the 23rd psalm." And so then he went to pick up the next person to come up and do it. And so he picks the kid in the front of the class, very shy kid. Everyone knew that, you know, he's a Christian, so maybe he'll give a good performance as well. So they bring him up on to the front, and he starts to recite the 23rd psalm. And as he started reciting, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he remembered how God had provided for him when he was in need. And he continued, and he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters." And he got overwhelmed with emotion, and he finished it, finally finished it. And by the time he was done, he was in tears, and the class was in tears. And the professor, the drama instructor, he said, "Wow, I knew the psalm, but he knew the shepherd." Maybe you're the one. The good shepherd's coming for you. Maybe you're the one. You're saying, "This is just for me." Maybe it is. Maybe you're the one, and he wants you to know him by name because he's good. And there's one that's not good. He's the enemy. He came to kill and destroy. But our good shepherd came that we may have a rich and a satisfying life, so you could know him, so you could love him, and he could love you. He's offering you something big. He wants to be your good shepherd. And so this morning, as the band comes to lead us in one last song, I want you to respond to that. Maybe you're in the 99 and you say, "I'm safely in the hands of the shepherd." But maybe you're the one who thinks he's coming for me. And so there's a couple different ways you can respond to that. I'll be up front. You can come talk to me. You can just come down and pray. You can pray where you are. You can find me or an elder after church. Whatever makes you feel comfortable, we just want you to respond. We want you to be able to run to the arms of the good shepherd, and just, we don't want you to leave that on the table. We don't want you to walk away without knowing the good shepherd. So let's pray together. God, we do pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, that doesn't know the beauty of being one of your sheep, that they would respond to that, God, this morning, that they would run into the arms of the good shepherd. God, we just pray that that you help us to take this home, that help us to recognize the times where you're guiding us. Help us to recognize the time that you're providing, the times that you're protecting us. And help us to just put that back on you and say, just to say thanks. Thanks for being our good shepherd. But God, we do pray for those here who need you. And we pray that they respond to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.